stealing, and in this highly political climate, when I say stealing, surely someone's mind went to don't steal because the government hates competition, right? Now, we know that's both funny and sad at the same time, and surely a case can be made against what the government has become, but that is another conversation for tonight. We're going to stick to Deuteronomy 5:19, which says, "And you shall not steal." And now many of you are probably aware of my sin as it relates to time management and microphones, but I will do my best tonight not to steal any time beyond what I've been given here. And Luke, you can relate to that too, right? So where'd he go? So, all right, Deuteronomy 5, let's jump right into it. The text says, "And you shall not steal." And we'd all recognize this as the eighth of 10 commandments, first written on tablets of stone by the finger of God, Exodus 31, and then written in the hearts of man in the new covenant, Jeremiah 31. And we see Christ summarize these 10 commandments in an amazing economy of words in Matthew 22. When asked by a Pharisee what is the greatest commandment, he responds in verses 37 through 39, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and this is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so what he's doing here in this statement is summarizing the Ten Commandments. Commandments 1 through 4 are summarized in you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And in Commandments 5 through 10 are summarized with you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And as part of this duty to love our neighbor as ourselves is to not steal. We're going to take a short journey tonight with a couple of stops along the way and try to better understand this commandment. And even though as a man I like to say we don't need a map, I think it would be helpful to have a plan and destination. So join me on a quick little road trip, and my family can testify that when we take a road trip, I go into go mode. And unless the car's shaking because the girls are doing a potty dance, or unless the little dummy light comes on and says we need gas, I don't want to stop. And so I guess unless I spill coffee, which I always do on a road trip, but anyhow, we would pull over for a moment then. But anyhow, tonight our destination is hope in Christ. All right, I know that sounds odd from you shall not steal, but that's our destination tonight. And I've planned three quick stops along the way. And first, we're going to try to understand a little better what stealing is. And second, we'll reveal the source of this temptation. And third, we will allow this concept to reveal deficiencies in our own walk with the Lord. And so finally, we'll get to our destination. And ultimately, I hope you'll find that in Christ, we have hope. So the eighth commandment is, and you shall not steal. And according to the Westminster Larger Catechism of 1648, in the negative, this means, among other things, that we are not to rob or steal, to accept stolen goods, to deal fraudulently, to oppress, to extort, or to take or withhold from our neighbor something that belongs to them. Now, if we flip that over on the positive, we can say, among other things, it means that we're to walk in truth and faithfulness and righteousness and justice and integrity. So it's time to pull over and make our first stop. Let's just make a quick list here of some of the ways that people can steal, just very practically, and it's not going to be an exhaustive list, but it's 2023 and some examples of stealing. So we can slip something into our pocket at a store without paying for it, right? Clearly, that would be stealing. And how about stealing someone's work? We could plagiarize a paper in school. We could steal a sermon. We could take others' thoughts or ideas or efforts, and we could repeat them as our own. Right, and just so full disclosure here, John Piper kind of shaped my thinking in regards to what we're talking about tonight, so just had to put it out there so I wasn't a hypocrite. But another form of stealing might be spending time on social media when we're being paid by an employer to be at work, right? Wouldn't that be stealing if we're being paid for a certain number of minutes of labor and we're not producing that labor? How about using a company vehicle for personal errands? How about accepting some assistance that you shouldn't take because you could be working? What about fudging on tax returns or rounding up your hours at work or downloading something illegally off the internet? I mean, there's no shortage of ways that we're tempted to steal. And so let's jump back on the road here and head towards our destination. And we understand that stealing can come in many different forms. And at this point on the road trip, this is where Dad wants to drive for a while and explain this concept 17 different ways. Right, Hannah? Don't I do that? Yeah, I want to explain it 17 just different ways just to make sure everybody gets it. But, you know, at this point, I won't put you all through that. I think we all have a reasonable idea of what stealing is and why it's wrong, and it can come in various forms. So we're going to pull over again real quick, stop number two, and this one will be quick. And we just want to look at what's the source of our temptation to steal. Well, Matthew 5 and verse 19 says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." People steal because of the sin in their hearts. People steal because their heart is corrupt. And like any of Satan's lies, stealing promises some sort of reward, but it will always bring regret. Now, as we hop back in the car and head down the road, we're gonna look at a couple examples of that. We're going to talk about it. We're going to look at the woman folly, and that is in Proverbs 9. And the woman folly calls to the simple and says, "Turn in here, for stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there." You see, stealing always promises reward. Sin always promises reward and always brings regret. Another example, Proverbs 20, verse 17. "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be full of gravel." The temptation to steal, in whatever form it comes, originates in the heart. And it always comes with the promise of satisfaction. But don't be deceived, it will always bring regret. So it's been a pretty quick trip so far, just two stops and we're moving right along. We'll be there in no time. But our first stop was understanding and seeing examples of what stealing is. And our second stop was just a quick scenic overlook in which we saw that temptation for stealing, as is with all sin, comes from the heart. And now it's time to pull over for a third stop, and this time we're going to linger for a moment. We know that stealing comes, we know what stealing is, and we see that it comes from the heart. But as we linger at this stop, we will see just very practically, it reveals our deficiencies. It reveals deficiencies in our walk with God. Stealing reveals deficiencies in our walk with God. And trying to keep the promise I made at the beginning to be a good steward of the time tonight, I'll just share two things that I see here. And those would be the areas of trust and love. Stealing reveals to us that we have a problem trusting God. Philippians 4:19 says, "God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." When we steal, we are saying we don't trust God to meet our needs. And we need to circumvent his providence to get the things that we need that he's not providing for us. If we're tempted to steal, we're tempted not to trust God. Now, if we can trust him with the fact that our penalty of sin has been paid in full, and if we can trust him that we're adopted as children, and if we can trust him to never leave us or forsake us, if we can trust him to return and bring us to glory, how can we not trust him to provide for our needs? Yet when someone steals, they are proclaiming, whether they realize it or not, "I don't trust God to provide what I need, so I'm going to get it my own way." Stealing reveals a deficiency we have in trusting God. It also reveals to us a problem we have with love. On one hand, it shows that our affections are focused on the wrong things. If our heart is so fixed on something, if we're lusting after something, if we are so in love with something that we're willing to sin in order to get it, it reveals to us a deficiency in the way we love. It reveals to us that our love is misplaced. And as a matter of fact, it shows only love for ourselves and our own needs, and actually reveals a contempt for God and a hatred for others. Let me explain here. Now, track with me a minute, all right? Remember, Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments by saying we're to love God and love others. And the Eighth Commandment is included in that love others part. It is that we shall not steal. So to steal something means that we are not loving others, right? So considering that the antithesis of love is actually hate, we can therefore say stealing shows a love for ourselves and a hatred towards others. It reveals that our love is misplaced. Now let me run through that one more time, just a little bit different way. To break any of those six commandments, any of those last six, would be to love yourself or to show disdain or hatred for a neighbor. So theft, in any form, reveals a heart that loves the wrong things. Stealing is a heart issue that shows a lack and a trust in the providence of God and a lack of love for God and a lack of love for others. So back on the road we go, heading toward our destination. And let's discuss this idea a little bit further. My kids get so excited when I say, let's discuss this a little further. We're commanded by God not to steal, right? So how do we do that? So to combat the temptation to steal, I think first we need the right perspective. Remember that God owns everything, right? He does. Absolutely everything. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Right? God owns everything. We are mere stewards of God's property. And to steal is to take something that God owns, that he's given to someone else, and take it for ourselves. Right? And that is very disrespectful to God. That we see that in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. It says, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or, here it is, lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. The end of verse 9 says, to steal profanes the name of God, right? Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And that is a horrible testimony. If we're stealing, even if it's something minute, what does it say to our coworkers or our friends or our acquaintances about God? What does it say about the way we trust him and our love for him? It profanes his name. What does it say about our love for others? What does it say about Rothbury Community Church? What does it say about our testimony, our integrity, right? So maybe some of us are feeling some conviction towards our lack of trust in God to provide for our needs, right? Maybe some of us are convicted that our hearts are loving the wrong things. Maybe some of our testimonies have been soiled as we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And as Satan plants that thought in your mind, right, as we heard Brian say this morning, just try harder. You can do it. Remember that the first thief was Satan, right? He attempted to steal God's throne and God's glory. And he's currently working to steal God's people. He's currently working to steal God's creation, mankind, right? And place them in the kingdom of darkness. So don't let him deceive you into believing you just need to try harder. Trying to conquer by willpower is how Pharisees are produced. That's a quote I came across by a professor named, Diodane Tamthu, okay? But I thought it was really cool. Trying to conquer by willpower is how Pharisees are produced, right? We need to conquer, as we learned this morning, by killing sin and by being transformed by God. So first, we need to acknowledge that sin. We need to repent and trust God to give us victory, right? And we need to press into Him. And as Brian talked about this morning, we press into Him through reading the Word and through prayer and through the sacraments and through fellowshipping with His people. Pharisees are produced by willpower, but broken and humble and victorious saints are produced by grace through faith. So on our road trip so far, we've stopped to see some examples of stealing. We've stopped to see that stealing comes from the heart. And we stopped to see that stealing reveals deficiencies in our walk with God, both in the way we trust God and in the way that we love. And we're finally making the last turn and pulling into our destination here. So let me take just a moment and try to encourage your hearts with a couple of texts. First off is Ephesians. In chapter 1, it says that Paul is writing to the saints who are in Ephesus. So Paul is writing to believers in the church in Ephesus, and just after his discussion on taking or putting off the old self and putting on the new self, right, he reveals a very practical example of what this would look like. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." So Paul is saying, Ephesian church member, I know some of you are stealing, but that comes from the old self. Now that you are in Christ, put that off, and in its place, let's put on a good work ethic, and let's earn what we have so that we may be able to share and love our neighbors as ourselves. It is only through the power of the Spirit that one can put off a sin like stealing and put on a fruit like a good work ethic. And another text I just want to encourage you with tonight is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. And I'll start in the middle of verse 9. It says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And notice the past tense here of these of this verse, verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And we have already been given victory over the consequences of our sin. And so let us endeavor to live up to who we are in Christ." And so how do we do that? Are we, you know, if you're currently struggling with the sin of stealing in whatever form that may come, you know, hopefully you see that as a heart issue, and hopefully you see that as a deficiency in your walk with the Lord, including a lack of faith and trust in God, and a selfish love for yourself and a hatred of others. And so I'd encourage you tonight to turn from that sin. And how do you do that? Well, I don't know. Go and make it right with the person that you've offended or the organization you've stolen from, and run to Jesus. And don't believe Satan's lie that it's too much to be forgiven. Let me remind you of the thief on the cross who hung next to Christ, who acknowledged his sin and asked forgiveness. And our blessed Savior responded, Luke 23:43, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Perhaps this road trip we've taken is already a familiar one to you, and you've been there before, and because of Christ's previous work in your life, you have come through our time tonight with a clear conscience as it regards in regards to stealing. And well, praise the Lord for that, right? Seriously, take a moment in your daily time with the Lord and praise Him for that. Praise Him for the way that He has protected you in that way. But also, don't let your guard down, right? Remember, Satan hates you. He hates me. He hates us, right? He hates this place. He hates truth. He hates righteousness. And he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we need to always be on our guard. And we'll look to Paul here and let him warn us from 1 Corinthians 10. "Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stand, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So, believer, let's keep the armor on, and let's fight the good fight for Christ, right? Let's choose to live with integrity. Let's choose to live with fortitude, and let's do honest work with our own hands, that we would have something to share with someone in need. And so that we aren't tempted to steal, that we may be able to love God and to love others. And if what I'm saying to you in that sentence there, if you don't understand what it is to be in Christ or to keep the armor on or to fight the good fight, don't leave without asking someone. Because to put it rather bluntly, if you don't have Christ, you don't have a chance, right? If you don't have Christ, there is no chance when it comes to this life. There is no chance when it comes to eternity. So let me pray for us. God, thank you for this time that we've had. Thank you for your word, for the wisdom of it. Lord, I just pray that you would work in the things that were said tonight, or even in spite of the things that were said tonight, but that you'd accomplish your perfect will and your purpose. Pray that you'd draw our hearts to yourself, that you'd keep us close, that you'd protect us from sin, and that we would recognize the way out when we do face temptation. God, give us victory, that we would reflect you well to a dying world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.